Grant and Danny is exclusively sponsored by the law firm Condori and Murad, estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Darris, as the head of our research department, would you do me a favor? I want to know when the Smurfs became a thing officially. When did that start? So I took my kids today to the movie theater to see the Smurfs. I didn't even know they did like 9 a.m. movies.
Oh, of course. I think the earliest showtime was like 8 a.m.
No chance. When did that become a thing?
It's always been a thing. Saturday mornings, I used to do, me and my aunt have gone to Saturday morning movies together before,
I guess that's not as crazy. Weekday mornings at 9 a.m.?
Yeah, it is kind of strange.
There was like nothing else being shown there. Okay. But my kids wanted to see Smurfs, so you were at practice where I was supposed to be. It just didn't go that way this morning at the Paulson household. So my wife basically is like, they got to go. So I took the three older ones. She stays home with the baby. We went and saw Smurfs. This was the first ever movie for the almost two-year-old.
Okay.
She's not ready for the bright lights.
No.
Just yet. My six-year-old has the same love of the movie theater that I do. She locks in. She wants to be there for the trailer. She wants a little popcorn. She is ready to go. My boy, who's four, movie theater Mark.
Okay.
He wants to pose for pictures with all of the coming attractions. He wants me to give him tokens so he can go. Tokens meaning quarters, I guess.
Okay.
Dad, you got a token? He wants to go ride the, you know, the sit on the car seat and drive and do all that stuff. We're going to do the claw machine. We're going to do it. It's a big adventure.
Right? I love
it's
the claw machine, a good time. By the way.
My near two-year-old, this week she turns two, just hellacious in theater. Now, the only thing we had going for us, we were literally the only people in the theater.
So when you say hellacious, is this crying? She's screaming a bit?
No, it's just moving around, going to the bathroom nine times.
Okay.
Hold me, don't hold me, popcorn, no popcorn, dumps the popcorn on the floor.
Oh, man.
Just name something awful that could happen, it happened.
Okay.
So it was just a lot of that. Like at one point, me and her are just dancing to the Smurf songs in like that little big walk area down in front of the screen.
So this is literally an empty theater.
Oh, I mean, it was just like the Paulsons rented a theater.
Okay.
So my two kids who you could scream next to them if they're watching something they can't hear you. They were fine.
Right.
But me and my two-year-old, I'm literally like dancing and trying to keep her from just running out of the theater. And I'm like, look over here. Woo! So I don't know what happened in the movie. Seemed like my kids liked it.
That's tough.
The Smurfs first episode aired September 12th, 1981.
Ow!
Oh, is it that recent?
Yeah.
Oh, I completely lied to them.
Yeah.
I thought the Smurfs were around like when my parents were kids. I thought the Smurfs was like an early 1900s creation. In fact, they're like, what about when grandma and grandpa? And I'm like, totally. I literally thought the Smurfs were like a 150-year-old thing. So the 80s. Oh, but then
early 80s like that. Yep.
I'm completely wrong.
All right.
That's bad. But anyway, the Smurfs, man. Skip that
movie.
One. Just skip it.
Well, you don't know if it was a good movie.
I don't know.
Well, you didn't watch.
You could see something better. Have you seen F1?
I have not.
You're sleeping.
Gotta go do it.
See that. Have you seen Superman?
No. You know how I am with movies, though.
That's a good point. I'm wasting my time. Darris, did you go last night to see Fantastic Four?
I absolutely did.
I did not get to.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's disappointing.
It is. How was it?
It was awesome. I think I will say...
Let me guess. If 7.5.
No. I would go 8.5 would be my final score.
Oh, so you liked it.
8.5 egg rolls out of 10. Yeah. Well, I like Superman too, but you just think that 7.5 is a bad score for some reason.
Well, you clearly like Fantastic Four a lot more than Superman.
I did. Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot more. Absolutely.
Did you get popcorn?
No, I didn't get popcorn.
Did you get nachos?
I did not.
Did you get anything?
I did. I actually had a flatbread pizza.
Wow.
Wacky.
Yeah.
You didn't do an Alamo, right?
No. No, it was AMC.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Silly Alamo. Best pre-order ever.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what funny. Is this guy doing?
Yeah. I'm awful.
Are you one of the guys that snores in the movie theater?
Oh, he snored big time.
And Ryan keeps elbowing
it was
me.
So embarrassing being with him.
What
in the
did you guys see?
I forgot the movie. It was actually
the Jordan Peele movie.
Yeah,
with
one of those Jordan
spaceship. Wacky
Jordan Peele.
What
movies.
Was it? I don't remember what movie.
I was gonna say get
one of those Jordan movies.
No, Jordan Peele Jordan Peele movies.
I think it was like Up. No, not Up. That's a
like When They
movie.
See Us or something
it was,
crazy.
It was a good movie. Linnell would not be able to tell you a single thing
not
about it. Like he was full on snoring in the theaters when we were there.
It was bad.
Full on snoring.
So embarrassing.
It was very embarrassing. Yes.
Obnoxious.
You know, I haven't been to a theater since. And that was like 2.5, 3 years ago.
Probably a good decision.
Yes.
If you can't make it through a movie without falling asleep, just don't go.
Yeah. Even at home, though.
F1 is so good.
Like, I've heard a lot of good things about it.
That's the movie of the summer right now. I'm giving it the nod over Superman, although it sounds like Darius is a Fantastic Four guy. You should see F1, too, by the way. All right, Luke McCaffrey, wide receiver going into year two. Got to catch up with him after practice yesterday and ask him just a couple of days in, you know, how different things are and if they're slowing down for him compared to a year ago. When you're a rookie, everything's coming at you. You're drinking through a fire hose. You don't know what's what. And by the way, he was new to the receiver position.
Yeah, it's nice just being able to know the schedule, know the way it goes, know the playbook. And so it's been a lot of fun.
What was your offseason like? What did you decide after the year you wanted or needed to work most on? And what kind of work did you do and with who?
Yeah, the offseason's a lot of fun. Biggest thing is just get bigger, faster, stronger, more competitive, and just try and develop all those while maintaining, you know, everything that you learned throughout last season. So it's been a lot of fun to put that to work.
One of the things we talked a lot about last year was you were still newer to the wide receiver position than a lot of guys drafted where you get drafted. Like, what was that learning process like just from an NFL standpoint of some of those changes?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest is just learning through the perspective of a receiver. And that's been a cool emphasis of just when you see a playbook, when you see a set of plays, when you ask questions, making sure it's from a receiver's perspective and learning from that. And it's been a lot of fun doing that.
On a year-to-year level, do they change much offensively when it's the same scheme with the same coordinator? Like, are there things now you guys have in the playbook you did a year ago, or is it pretty much like picking up the same textbook?
I think football's a lot of fun because, you know, you start with the fundamentals, you start with the basics, and then grow. And so a little bit of both. You know, we have some stuff that we did and some stuff that's new. But, you know, I think fall camp, OTAs, is such an emphasis on the fundamentals, on developing your skills and growing as a player.
Last year was great for you to kind of solidify a foundation. How do you view this year in terms of trying to take a big step and make a leap?
I again, similar to the last one, I think just constantly trying to grow as a player, constantly trying to get better day in and day out from a physical standpoint, from a technique standpoint, from a mindset and a competitive standpoint. So it's a lot of fun being able to do that out here every day with a good group of guys.
Obviously, the Terry storyline's a big deal, but for you at wide receiver, does it help to get just more reps or more work or anything like that?
Yeah, I think, again, fall camp's about just getting reps and having fun. So it's been a great couple days just getting some competitive reps against our guys, and I love the brotherhood we got going on right now.
Have you gotten to talk to him at all, texted with him? And just
Yeah. He's, you know, good mentor, good leader for me, and so it's been cool.
Appreciate you, man. Thanks. Yeah,
thank you so much.
Luke McCaffrey from out of training camp. By the way, 1958, Darius updates his research, is when the Smurfs came out.
Jeez.
So my dad was 7. So that actually makes more sense. So he was watching the Smurfs on like Saturday mornings as a little kid. Although I don't know if they were doing TVs or what the deal was then. But he was looking at the Smurfs in the comic books.
I'm about to say my imagination is running wild right now.
And Nope was the movie that we saw at the Alamo.
Nope. Was I awake?
Nope. You were now.
clearing everything up from earlier in the segment. Yeah. All right, I want to go McCaffrey versus Sinnott here. I know we've already done our poll of the day. Maybe I'll throw this one on my own Twitter, and we can touch the people. Who are you buying stock in this year? Between the two guys that were drafted last year in rounds 2 and 3 as pass catchers, Sinnott at tight end, was actually taking about 50 picks before Luke McCaffrey. He went 53 overall, and McCaffrey was 100. Now, we had Sinnott on the show yesterday. Really good interview. If you missed that, go podcast it when we're done, thefandc.com. I like the way he's looking at this season.
Yeah.
His demeanor was awesome. He said, my best skill is what I do after the catch. I didn't really get to show that because I didn't have any catches. Now, we could debate why that was.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, as far as Ben Sinnott goes, he's at a pretty loaded position. They got a future Hall of Famer in front of him who was hurt a bunch before he got here, and then last year he didn't get hurt. So if Ertz is on the field, he's going to get most of the targets at tight end. That's just how that's going to go. You would think McCaffrey, who caught 18 balls for 168 yards last year, would have a less impeded path to the field.
Right.
Because you're running 11 personnel, 3 receivers at a time. With Cliff, you're constantly spread out in the horizontal raid. Might have 4 or 5 guys running routes occasionally. And so there should be more work to be had for Luke McCaffrey. Doesn't necessarily mean targets. But I would think if Ertz is healthy, he gets more looks. But all we are is one injury away from a guy that gets hurt more often than he doesn't over the last several years in Ertz. And now it's Ben Sinnott season. And I don't really think there's a path to a Luke McCaffrey season.
Yeah, I don't know if I buy that either, GP. And, like, let's say the quiet thing out loud. The fact that we're having this conversation right now about a second and a third round pick is a little bit alarming. They have time, obviously, to get better. But their rookie seasons, them being as unimpactful as they were, I think is a big red flag to me. And I think it says more about the player than the opportunity. Because last year, specifically for Luke, think about what the question was all camp long. Well, who's going to be wide receiver two? Who's going to be wide receiver two? Jahan, or wide receiver three, rather. We thought it was going to be, you know, Jahan. Noah Brown gets cut, and then he immediately comes in and surpasses Luke McCaffrey. I don't know if that's just the byproduct of a tough transition.
Well, but Luke McCaffrey shouldn't have been that role anyway. Like, the outside,
for sure.
Square in, dig route. Like, when they went and got Noah Brown, that made a lot of sense to me. What you're saying is smart in that it was not a position where there was no...
You didn't have Hall of Famers in front
movement.
Of you.
You know? Yeah. Like, if you were really, really good, you can make your own way. You could throw your elbows out and kind of get some opportunities. And I understand that. And it ended up being guys like Alamide Zaccheaus that had 10 catches the year before, literally 10, that ended up outshining you at different points. So that does not speak that well. Now, if I was to defend him, I would say a third-round receiver who ends up being your primary kick returner at the end of the year, I think he returned some punts, but, you know, key on special teams and catching. It wasn't a lot, but 18 balls, had some fourth down conversions, had that 30-yard catch against Cincinnati on, like, a fourth and two, went for a couple hundred yards. His catch percentage was really high. His, like, separation score was pretty good. I think if you look at that in a black and white of, like, the resume after 1 year where he was drafted just outside of the top 100, that looks way better than the Sinnott resume does.
Well, with zero catches.
The Sinnott resume is a second-round pick just outside of the top 50. Like, this is where contributions immediately are supposed to be found, who caught five balls last year, who was targeted five times last year. Like, second-round tight ends that get five targets in their first season, that's a massive disappointment. I can explain it away by saying Zach Ertz was great. True. I can explain it away by saying John Bates is one of the better run-blocking tight ends in the league, so he's going to be on the field in 12 personnel like a ton. Fine. Five targets, it speaks for itself. That what else needs to be said? So if we're actually going into, like, which one's more alarming, to use your word, which I like, because it's very true. Like, let's just call it what it is. Jaden Daniels' home run. There's some other picks, like Mikey Sanra still, that went over the fence. Both of these picks are very much still in question. And I would say last year, Sinnott's rookie year, more so than McCaffrey's, was disappointing, and both were.
And still, even going into this year, for Sinnott, like, I just don't see how it happens. I don't know if he's, like, Zach Ertz's immediate replacement, and they're just kind of trying to, you know, groom him.
Yeah, what if
him?
Ertz gets hurt? If Ertz in week one goes down, and I'm knocking because I don't want
knocks,
that to happen, right? He's so important to them, and he's a baller. But if Ertz goes down, to me, Ben Sinnott goes out and catches 55 balls. Like, that's how I see this thing going.
I think he would get the opportunities. I don't know if you heard this from Logan Paulson as well. The one thing that Logan said about him is that, you know, physically all the gifts are there. He can run. He's physical at the point of attack when blocking. From the neck up, though, there was some struggle for him last year, right? I love the analogy that you used with Luke, like drinking through a hose. Like, it was a lot thrown at him. And when you think about how multiple they were offensively and all the different personnel groupings, it was probably a lot for him. And when you're a football player and you're having to think, you can say this for Luke too, because they played him in the slot and outside. When you're a football player and you got to think, you can't play at your best, you can't be who you want to be. Maybe for both of those guys going into this year, keeping all the continuity offensively, maybe they're able to play a little bit faster and then in turn have more significant contributions here.
In a world where Ertz is not available.
Yeah.
Bates is not running a bunch of routes.
Dude, but
he's being John Bates.
Yes.
Go over there, put your hand down,
and block,
and push people around. I'll throw you the ball three times between now and the end of the month. Catch them when I throw them to you. Ben Sinnott, Colson Yankoff, athletic, but probably not as good at any one thing as Ben Sinnott. That's why one goes in the top 55 and the other one gets undrafted. But he is just athletically a nice little piece, and I've seen him run around on the practice field. He flashes from time to time. Cole Turner, as a pass catcher, is their most talented guy. If you're talking about splitting someone out in the slot, if you're talking about having someone who doesn't have to be in line blocking and, like, on those third and sevens where Ertz is lined up in, like, stacks out wide, that could be Cole Turner.
Could be.
I definitely could see a path to him being on the active roster, getting work, but he's the previous regime's guy, not this regime's guy. Fifth round pick. They signed Lawrence Cager, who's actually, I've noticed him a bunch in practice.
Yes.
Yeah, he's been around the league for a long time. Kind of a tweener in terms of like blocking, catching. Right. He's not a high volume guy. And then an interesting name they have in camp, which won't amount to much maybe, but Tyree Jackson.
He looks the part. He gets off the bus looking like a Pro Bowler.
He is
massive.
Straight out of Central Casting.
Yeah.
Just sculpted in clay to be an NFL player.
I love him.
I remember when he was the quarterback pushing Cardell Jones for the DC Defenders in 2020.
Oh, so he was here? Wow.
Oh, yeah. The original. Now, this was the XFL.
Okay.
This is before it shut down for COVID in 2020. We were calling the games on the fan. Tyree Jackson was running quarterback for the Defenders. He played QB at Buffalo.
He got the last start right before the league shut down.
Yeah, he had Cardell benched. Yeah. And then they shut it all down.
Wow.
But he's out there as a tight end as well. Pretty athletic guy. But I run through those names just to say Bates, Yankoff, Turner, Jackson, Cager. If there's no Ertz, there's zero excuse why Ben Sinnott couldn't go out and get 6-7 targets, 4-5 catches a week. Zero.
He's got to be in the right place at the right time. I know that's something that's been kind of circulating is, you know, just the mental workload was a lot for him last year. But physically, we were talking about it during the break, like the Jets preseason game. If you would have told me after that game that, yeah, like this is going to be a dude that catches, you know, 40, 50 balls for, you know, 700 yards, I would have believed you.
But
like,
that's
he looks
my point.
Like a physical freak.
There's no balls to go around if Ertz is out there.
Well, that's the, yeah, exactly.
So this is the question I keep coming back to. Did he not get involved last year because he wasn't given opportunities? Or did he not get involved last year because he just wasn't good enough to force his way onto the field? Like, I think if it was the wide receiver position, he probably would have gotten more involved because there's just more times to use guys. But we say, well, you could have two tight ends. Bates is always going to be on the field.
Yeah.
Because he's that good of
a
blocker.
He's an extra lineman.
Exactly right. So now it's essentially like, is Ertz able? Because if he is, you're not taking him off the field with a rookie quarterback as a third down war daddy who's going to get to the sticks and move the chains.
But why not both? If Sinnott is what
you're
we're saying he is.
Three tight ends?
As versatile as they got last year, I mean, Cliff has shown he ain't scared of going in the bag, so to speak.
It's not like they didn't do that some.
Right.
But when you do that, you're running it a lot, number one, right? When we're talking about now 13 personnel. He played on 311 snaps.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he didn't play. Ben Sinnott played on 27% of their snaps, about a quarter of the time. Some of that might be, you know, Ertz gets banged up in New Orleans with a concussion and whatever else. Bates comes off the field for a bit. But there were times, I'm sure, when all three were on the field. We'd have to go back and see their usage of that kind of personnel group. But it's still not a lot of targets, right? Like, you're still, how many of those plays does Jaden pull the ball down and run? That's the thing with a running quarterback.
That's very true, yeah.
You've got Terry McLaurin. You got a whole room of receivers. You got a tight end who is basically putting up Pro Bowl numbers in the second half of the season. There's just still not a lot of work for you.
But the thing he was best at last year, and he, you know, mentioned that, you know, he didn't get the opportunity to, you know, run after the catch. He was pretty good as a blocker. Like, physically, he was good. For them to re-sign John Bates and give him a pretty healthy contract as a blocking tight end that they didn't draft.
Yes.
Does that say something about Sinnott?
So this is a good question. It's not just that they did that with Bates, by the way.
Yeah.
They also brought back Ertz.
So there we go.
Ertz was a free agent. Bates was a free agent. And I remember, go back, pull the audio. Danny and I are talking about this after they picked him. It's like, well, Zach Ertz is not a long-term answer. This is a one-year rental to help teach Cliff's offense.
Right.
He's going to play in 9 games this year. Ended up being a lot better, and they said, we want to keep him. So they did. Bates, they fell in love with. So they did. He got paid pretty well. I think it was like $7, $8 million a year.
Yeah, I think it was like 3 for $24.
Something like that. Does it mean anything about Sinnott? How could it not? If Ben Sinnott was so good behind the scenes in practice and everything that they go, we got to get this guy on the field. Are you re-signing both of the dudes in front of him on the depth chart?
Probably not. So,
I view this way. I don't know what your dating life is currently like.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a mess.
A mess?
It's a mess.
Okay. When I had a buddy telling me about what was going on, and he's like, look, I think she's into me, but she's just really busy, and she's got this and this and this and this. Anytime someone isn't hanging out with you or coming up with reasons why they can't, move along.
It's good advice.
Move along.
Write that down.
This is the same. This is probably more prevalent sometimes for girls, where it's like, he said he's got this. He said, uh-uh.
Yeah.
If they want to hang out, they'd hang out.
They want to make time, they will.
It could be 11:47 at night after a 9-hour work shift. If they want to hang out,
come on.
You up?
They will.
They'll hang out.
Do you see my face kind of getting long as you're talking about this? This is rough. Can we go to break?
But the point of the dude's story is, and I let me relate this back to Ben Sinnott. This was not just a moment to zero in on your love life. If they wanted Ben Sinnott on the field, he might get on the damn field.
Yeah.
Right? If they wanted the ball in his hands. So here's, I'm going to come back to my original question. We can open up the phones. McCaffrey or Sinnott? Who is more likely to have a better season this year? And which one at the end of this year are we going to be going, uh-oh? Because if they get through year two, similarly to last year, where they were drafted, that's not a good look.
No, it's not.
800-636-1067, you want to hop in on the listener lines. Grant and Danny Linnell's in for Danny on the Fan.
Gonna have to score some points tonight. Daniels lets it go for the first down and plenty more. McCaffrey is short of the touchdown, but the rookie got 30 yards on fourth and two.
That was the biggest highlight, I would think, of the Luke McCaffrey rookie year. It was week two in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
Commanders, week three, Cincinnati, Monday Night Football. We were there on the road. And McCaffrey on a fourth and a couple picks up 30. That was the Jaden Daniels coming out party.
They yes,
were 1-1 at that point. He was so good. In fact, I watched a quarterback on Netflix. And one of the revelations watching that show was superstar Joe Burrow.
Oh, my gosh.
Talking about how great he played in that game. And he said something to the effect of, like, sometimes you're perfect. Sometimes you feel like you couldn't have done anything better. And the other guy's just so good that day that he beats you.
I love it.
And that was Joey Burrow. Mount Rushmore, top four in the National Football League right now. Every year your team's got a chance to win a Super Bowl because you're that good. Saying that about Washington and Jaden Daniels.
Our guy. The guy that plays quarterback here, Grant. Like I feel like I'm still in like this euphoric state about where the team is, what happened last year. But yeah, that's a little reminder that we do have a dude, man. We got a dude.
And, not coincidentally, in that show, he ends up derailing Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions. Although Goff, he kind of derailed himself a little bit there, with his 8,000 turnovers in the playoffs. And then they beat the Atlanta Falcons. That was Kirk Cousins was not starting in that game, but they were here. The Netflix show was featuring him. That was game number one of him watching Michael Penix.
Definitely a little awkward for Kirky.
A lot of Jaden Daniels in the quarterback show, even though he was not one of the featured QBs, as he guided wins against all of those teams. But the question for you guys is, you got two pass catchers drafted in the top 100 last year. This was not like late round, let's see if we can find an NFL player picks. This was not Colson Yankoff, I like his film, undrafted free agent, UCLA stuff. Ben Sinnott was a second round pick. Who people thought, by the way, where they took him was a little bit overdrafted, remember. Luke McCaffrey, similarly, was a just outside of the top 100, third-round pick. And that was one of those where people went, that's a little early.
Yeah.
And neither of them had a big first year. Doesn't mean they can't have strong second years, but we're asking you, who do you like more? Who are you buying stock in? So you go first.
It's tough because I honestly don't have a whole lot of hope for either of the two guys. I just think they're in the exact same situation they were in last year. How much better are they?
You don't think that they have a great chance to play well this year, or you don't
I just think
them long-term? Like, you think they're guys?
I think the jury's still out about long-term. We just haven't seen enough, you know, opportunities for them. And I think, like we were talking about, why didn't Sinnott play? Because of Bates and Ertz. Well, they're back. You know, unless Zach Ertz goes down, and we know the way this team treats their old heads, like he's never going to get hurt. When is Ben Sinnott going to see the field? This is what would show me about Ben Sinnott, because I know you love different personnel groupings. If they go 13 way more than they did last year, that tells you, okay, Sinnott's showing some growth here. If they're comfortable with giving Ertz a series off, which should happen during a game at times because, you know, dudes get tired, then that'll show me, okay, they're comfortable with Sinnott.
Why can't you play Sinnott to that point you're making on first and second down more and trot Ertz out there fresh on third down when it's time for him to go be the guy that gets to the sticks and moves the chains? Like, keep him fresh.
That's true. I like that idea, too. Cliff, if you're listening, Grant's throwing your nuggets here.
Just keep him fresh.
I agree with that. And
put him on a little bit of a pitch count, a snap count. and we're also talking about this, like, how do they get Sinnott involved? Behind the scenes, they might go, we don't need to get Ben Sinnott involved.
We're okay. You know? That's the other thing.
We don't know either. It's like, they get to see him every single day. I just assume actions more than words. We love him. Of course they're going to say they love him. What are they doing? What they're doing is not involving him.
I'm going to go with Luke McCaffrey. I think when you consider, like, the question mark above the receiver room right now with Terry not being there, and by the way, I don't think he shows up for a while. Noah Brown, they're kind of putting in bubble wrap right now because, you know, of the injury he suffered in the spring. Debo, his health is up and down. I think Jalen Lane is going to go through a similar rookie acclimation period at the receiver position like Luke did last year. Mikey absolutely destroyed Jalen Lane today on a screen pass for KJ Osborne. And if they were in pads, it probably would have looked even worse. But, like, he's got to get acclimated to the physicality of the NFL and things of that nature. Luke's going to have an opportunity to be the third wide receiver. Or the fourth wide receiver in play, you know, if Debo's in the backfield per se, and they go with three wideouts, Luke will be the third behind Noah and Terry.
To me, that's the big thing, is that Debo is not a traditional wide receiver.
Very true, yeah.
So even when he's on the field, Luke still could get opportunities because Debo's in motion,
right.
Decoy and jet action, in the backfield, play action shots, whatever. I'm going to go with Sinnott because I have a hard time believing Ertz will stay healthy for the duration of a second consecutive season.
That's true. Yeah.
At his age. I just think people forget. Like, last year we talked about this with Jaden Daniels all preseason. The frame, and is he going to be effective enough, you know, off the field, making all the right decisions with his body to just post week in and week out. And he did. He played every single game, and that's awesome. Although you can make the case he probably should have missed two or three when he had the broken rib. But don't even need to go back through that. I think, in the same way we've moved on and just decided, well, Daniels is now durable.
Yeah.
I think we're doing the same thing with Zach Ertz. Ertz missed 10 games in 2023.
Yeah.
He missed 7 games in 2022. He missed 6 games in 2021. He missed, you know, you just go through it, and it's like every year he's
a repeat offender.
A bunch of times. So I just would bet against him playing a full season, and for that reason, Sinnott gets the opportunities. I think his secret sauce, the one thing he does really well, I don't think he's going to, like, runs all that well. He's not overly twitchy. He's the kind of guy, like, I would, as a pitcher, I would say, is never going to blow you away in, like, a bullpen session.
Mm-hmm.
He's not 98. He doesn't have a wipeout slider or anything. He's a gamer out on the mound with some pitchability, right? I think he's an after-the-catch, tackle-breaking, rumbling, stumbling.
It's not sexy. Like,
yeah,
but
the opposite of Zach Ertz.
Right.
Where Ertz is like catch and fall, I think Sinnott makes the catch and like 3 guys are on the ground and he's got 9 extra yards. And until you make the catches, you just don't get to show that.
The guy was themed up in the NFC Championship game. People sleep on how important that play was. Him
the
on fourth
fake
down.
Punt?
Yes. Huge play. A to lob- not get your number called all year and then you make that play like that, that says something about
lob
you.
Lob ball middle of the field by Trask, and he came down with it.
Come on.
Waiting to get lit up. Let's go to Larry in D.C. on Grant and Danny. Sinnott or McCaffrey, who are you buying stock in?
What's up, Larry?
I think I'll go with Sinnott, but I think also, too, you got to look at a guy like Dallas Turner, who was a top pick with the Vikings, who couldn't get on the field because of Van Kinkle and the other guy that they both from the Titans, who had phenomenal years. I think Sinnott has the edge because, again, let's not forget, McCaffrey's not been playing wide receiver that long, even though his stock and pedigree from his brother and his father playing, you know, wide receiver, he's played quarterback, so he sees it a little bit different, but he's still adjusting and playing a new position that he's not been playing that long. Versus Sinnott, been probably playing tight end for 7-8 years.
That's true. It's actually a really good comp, too, on Minnesota, a little bit of a deep cut for people that don't track them. But, yeah, they did draft Dallas Turner to basically, in the first round mix there, be like their edge rusher that's going to help them. Then they signed Jonathan Greenard from the Houston Texans, who I think you referenced. They had Van Ginkle come over, who had an awesome season. And so he didn't get a lot of run. Where I'd push back is Washington didn't have a Van Ginkle Greenard caliber tandem in front of Luke McCaffrey at receiver.
Right.
They were just waiting for someone to play. Because remember, Noah Brown got hurt too.
Yeah.
Like there were weeks where it was Alamide Zaccheaus and Jamison Crowder in his third act in Washington as an 816-year-old slot.
Yeah.
Like they were getting run. And McCaffrey now is not playing at all. So that's different than Van Ginkle, who played at a Pro Bowl level, and Greenard, who's one of the better pass rushers in the league, being in front of you. Let's go to John in Arlington on the Fan. Hey, John.
What's up, John?
Hey, Grant. Hey, Linnell. Two things before I go into Luke or Ben. One, Grant, you need to get the Responsible Father of the Year award taking your kids to an empty theater because there's nothing worse than watching Superman and having it ruined by a 2- and 4-year-old who are out of control and screaming. Linnell, every no is closer to miss right. Now.
That's a good point. Before you move on from Loveline, I will say that anyone who brings like very young children to a grown-up movie so that they can see the grown-up movie they want to see, that's just a bad, selfish decision. If the if you're not taking a kid to see a kid movie, they shouldn't be there. And if you don't have a babysitter, like, trust me, I just had my fourth. It is a grind. I know how terrible it can be at times and how exhausting it is. But I'm sorry. Then you can't see the movie yet. And you got to wait until you can figure it out another day. But you cannot take young kids to movies that are not made for kids. They're not going to lock in. They're not going to be interested. Yeah. You're setting yourself and everyone up in the theater for disaster. You know this, John.
Yes, and trust me, it took everything in me not to channel my inner Danny Rouillet rant on these people. I'm like, you're in a movie, you're in public. Do not go crazy. But anyway, I think it's going to be Luke because if you look at Luke last season, the one thing he was amazing at, and a lot of like national media people called it out, was that he could block well. He was such an effective blocker. If he can just turn that switch to precise route running, catching it, a little bit more speed, I think, you know, he can go. With Ben, Ben's not bad, but maybe Ertz is still that dude. Like, we look at Ertz as like this older guy, but how many times has Zach Ertz just come through in the clutch? And I don't care what they say against Pittsburgh, that was a first down.
I agree.
And that's my piece.
No doubt. No doubt that was a first down. Ertz was very good last year. I think he was a fringe Pro Bowler.
He was the biggest surprise of the season.
Yeah, so when you say, right, what if he's just, maybe he's really good? Cosign.
Yeah.
Verbal retweet. I don't want to pat myself on the back. I mean, we get more wrong than we get right around these parts, but he was getting killed early last season, and I didn't understand it. People are like, oh, he can't do anything after the catch. No, yeah, exact, this and that. And it's like,
that's not what he's here for.
Do you understand the importance of a veteran who, after every drive, is in Jaden Daniels' ear hole, telling him what he didn't see, what he saw, what he needs to do different, what he might think about doing, or just the reliability of, you're supposed to be here, and guess where you were? Exactly right there.
Yeah.
But it didn't take long into the season before he started putting up numbers. And I still remember NFC Championship game, 16 targets, 11 catches.
Kept throwing it to him.
104 yards.
And the thing about Ertz last year where I think he really, you know, won me over, and this is where like the no-yak Zach stuff doesn't matter. He understands leverage and body angles, his ability to uncover in the red zone and be a target that's going to bring the football in is super underrated. Like the Falcons catch to win the game, like that ain't no easy play that he made, man. Like that's a tough catch. It barely has separation, but is able to box out the defender enough just to put his body in position. I want to push back on something John said too. Luke was, to me, that's where he struggled the most last year, was blocking. I think that's why he wasn't on the field, because the blocking.
Interesting. I'd have to go back and look. I know that they regularly complimented him in that regard publicly. That doesn't mean exactly that it was going well. I just be honest, I don't remember enough, and I don't want to go hard in the paint one way or the other. I can certainly remember him making some good blocks in moments, but that doesn't a season, right? That's possible. Generally, if you're blocking a lot and blocking well, you're going to get on the field.
You're going to stay on the field.
It got to a point where he was just playing teams as the year went on, though, which was interesting to me. We should hit a double play. We will do that next. We're blitzing at the top of the hour at 4 o'clock. Excited about that. Remember, new defensive tackle coming home. Eddie Goldman, a DMV guy, now with the Commanders, will be on the show today at 5:45. You're listening to The Fan. Friday double play means winning off the field, driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealer today. Danny's definitely winning off the field. He's at the beach. He's a beach guy. He likes being toes in the sand.
Does he actually?
Oh, he loves it.
Okay, good.
He sets up a chair like first thing in the morning, and then he doesn't get up for hours and hours and hours.
So he's probably pretty red right now.
Yeah, I don't know how much sunscreen reapplying he's doing. I hope he's
being safe.
Although I will say, now that I think about this, many years ago we used to make fun of this. He is like a t-shirt and water shoes guy at the beach.
Oh, okay.
Like he'll go in the water in a water shirt.
Wow.
And then he'll like wear like, he literally, I don't know if we made fun of him enough to kind of get him out of this.
Danny's got a pretty good body for his age. Why does he wear the shirt? Like me, I would wear the shirt because I'm like not in the best shape. You know?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's a that thing or if it's because, I don't know why he wears the shirt.
Okay.
Why does he wear water shoes and he's not 4 years old? I can't answer that.
Well, I'm worried about what touches my feet.
I mean, who wears water shoes that isn't my son, who's a child, because he's afraid of what's underneath the water.
Yeah, well.
Why Danny also wears, I've got a picture in my phone. I've never seen a grown man do this except Danny. He wears, I don't even know what they're called, but like the earmuffs. Like the ear, like the, this.
Earmuffs.
Clip, if you're watching on YouTube.
Yeah.
The ears have like this thing that connects and it goes behind your head.
Yeah.
And then you wear like the warmers on your ears in the winter. Danny wears those.
Like, he's just trying to stay warm. I'm mad at him.
You cannot be mad at him. I've just never seen anyone wear them.
It is a little uncommon for a man of his age, I would say.
Earmuffs? Like, I don't know, man. But that's what he's doing. So my guess is he's not going to get too much sun.
There we go.
He might act accordingly. But it is time to figure out how you guys are winning off the field. You can hit us up at 800-636-1067. I'll get this party started. So I told you I took the kids to see Smurfs today.
Mm-hmm.
Just had to get them out of the house so the wife and the baby could have a little time to nap. I went up to the register. I normally buy my tickets early via app or whatever.
Right.
I hadn't done it. We run up to the register trying to get the kids like a lemonade and whatever else. And so I need tickets. And I said, hey, I need tickets to the movie Smurfs. And we're all standing there. It's me and three kids. My dude punches it into the machine. He punches in three tickets. Now, here's what I don't know. Is my daughter so young at almost 2 years old that
that's
she
true.
Didn't need a ticket? I guess that's possible. But he punched in like three kids' tickets. I don't think he thought they were going to be unaccompanied. Maybe he just knows I didn't want to take out a loan and they charged too damn much to go see a movie. Because for like a bag of candy, which we that was an amateur hour move. We should have brought candy in the pocket. But my kids want a little candy and like a couple of lemonades or whatever.
Yeah.
And tickets, it still costs like $70. It was a problem. But that was with three tickets.
That's good.
My guy didn't charge me for four tickets. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
So, day one of training camp, all excited. I kind of treated it like the first day of school. Like, I put my outfit out the day before. Like, I was deep conditioned my hair. And whoever that is on social media, joning on my hair, thank you. You're making me go harder. But I was a little nervous about something. Laramie Tunsil and me had a very viral moment, is how I would describe it on social media. He made the best edit of the year of me, you know, ranting, complaining, unwarranted, by the way, him not being there for the voluntary OTAs. And it was a big thing on social. I mean, you all ate it up and called me all types of names. And almost, I'm not scared of anything but God, but you all almost invoked a little bit of fear in me when it came to Tunsil. First day I see him, I'm out there standing in the media line and Tunsil's walking down the aisle. Think about a wrestler going to the ring. That's kind of how like the football players walk out on the practice field. And he points at me, smiles, said, "What's up, bro? It's all love." And my heart, and I went.
How did he know who you are? Because it's an audio clip, not a video clip.
It is. So his team scrubbed my Instagram. I know it for sure. I told you,
scrubbed is the right word. Scrub means they delete all your
they
stuff.
They searched thoroughly my Instagram.
Okay.
And I told you that I got a text about an hour and a half before the clip came out saying, hey, we're about to do this.
From who?
From one of Tunsil's boys?
Saying, I didn't know.
It was actually one of my boys.
He said, we're about to just use your audio.
It was my guy, Kenny G. My guy, Kenny G, told me and gave me the what's up because Tunsil's boys sent it to him. I don't know if they saw we were mutuals or what, but I knew it was coming.
Kenny G, the old guy that played the flute?
No, not that Kenny G. Okay. You actually repost this Kenny G quite often. What's their podcast called? Behind the Fence, Over the Fence, OTF. You've reposted their stuff a couple times. Okay. Good dude. But
not the Grammy winning saxophonist.
Not that guy. Okay. Not that guy. Big DC party promoter though, but not that guy. Okay. He had gave me the heads up, like, hey, Laramie's team just sent me this. Be warned that, like, you're about to get, you know, eviscerated on social media.
What Laramie's team is the Commanders. What are you? I don't understand.
When I say
what you're
Laramie's social media folks, Laramie's got a team of people. Like, he is very social media savvy. Like, he's always posting workout stuff. Like,
do you have the edit? All right, let's hear it.
Laramie Tunsil thing, he's not there either. That's where I have a problem. You can be on U Street doing the Cotton Eye Joe, messing the club up, buying sections, doing the whole nine, but you can't show up to voluntary OTAs.
By the way, that's a great line. I've told you this so many times. I think sometimes, like, you can't just ever stop at, I wish a guy was there.
Yeah.
You do these, like, personal digs occasionally that are going to get you in trouble. And I don't know why you can't stop yourself, but it is. We've talked about this a lot off air, just you and I as, like, dudes that are in this thing together. Having said that, that one was funny to me.
Well, thank you.
Like, cause sometimes you, like, call guys dumb or fat, or, and it's like, well, that's not going to, like, at some point you got to go out to the locker room, and I wouldn't like you very much either. Having said that, that's kind of funny. Like, doing the Cotton Eye Joe on U Street.
Because why would he really be doing the Cotton Eye Joe?
Also, he can't get that upset.
Right.
Your point is, get to work, brother.
He respected it, dapped me up. Now we got a one-on-one coming next week, so that'll be good.
I like that. It also makes me feel good about Laramie Tunsil.
He's a good dude.
Don't take things too seriously, man. You're in a very professional industry. Like, you and I can't sit on YouTube without me getting called fat and someone making fun of your haircut. If you're making $40 million a year to play offensive tackle, people might have an opinion occasionally. Let's get some thicker skin. So I like the first thing he did was smile at you, tell you it's okay. And as long as you're not a jerk, if it's not personal.
It was never personal, and he knew that. I think I put it in the comments on the Instagram post. This is the best edit I've seen. So when the star left tackle.
It was a good edit.
When you eviscerate the star left tackle that comes to town, and then he then eviscerates you back. But when you meet him in person for the first time, he daps you up, gives you a hug.
My favorite edit ever was.
Winning off the field.
Attaboy. My favorite edit ever was when Rick Snyder, who's my guy, was like talking about Diami Brown or something. and I was like, how do they find this? Like, it's like Rick Snyder on, like, Rick Snyder's YouTube channel. Or maybe it was just his Twitter, like, give me 2 minutes. But, like, Diami Brown did this, like, 3-hour, like, longer than the Titanic preseason buildup last year where it was, like, Diami snatching souls. And, like, the opening credits were, like, Rick Snyder, like, and who's this Diami Brown? It was the same thing they did to you, where they just like take your like clip and make you the hater of the, you know, that represents all media.
You think Rick Snyder and Diami broke bread?
I think they had. I know they did. They had a good lunch.
Well, there
actually.
There we go.
They Captain Billy's down in Southern Maryland.
So they actually. Well, there we go.
Yeah, I'm kidding. I have no idea.
I missold for a second.
I highly doubt they had crabs together, but I don't know that it was overly personal for Diami either. Some dude. Runs his Instagram account.
Yes.
Wants a cool rap song with bars set to someone saying something.
Yes.
One day it's Rick Snyder. The next day it's Linnell.
It happens.
It's not that serious, people.
It's a dime a dozen.
It's not that serious. The Beltway Blitz coming your way next.